This is Jackie Phillip.
Hi, this is Sifu Romain.
Welcome to Reset You Today. Welcome to Reset. I am so excited about today's guest. She is an old friend of mine who I've interviewed before on CBN. She has an amazing message. She's such an encourager. Her name is Patricia Nordstrom. She is the director of nonprofit Bible for Food Group, who helps people with eating issues. She gives them tools through faith, education, and a community of friends to share with. She is currently the author of two books called 90 Days and Think Fast, and her latest book is coming out in the spring called Bible Immersion. The thing I'm really most excited to share with you, I mean, I'm excited to share everything with you today, but the thing I'm most excited to share is that she is a cancer survivor, and she was told she had no chance to live. And she is here to tell you how she found healing through food, faith, friendship, and hope. So let's welcome Patricia Nordstrom on Reset today. Welcome, Patricia. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Jackie, you don't know how grateful I am for this opportunity to be on this meeting. I know how important it is for me to have hope and to be able to hear other people who have gone before me. Helps me to remember, you know, that, you know, God made me, He equipped me with so much more than I ever could believe. And so thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. When my friend reached out to me and told me about your story, you know, we've had probably 2 years in between our interview, and I was just completely flabbergasted to hear that you had been suffering with cancer and all that you went through. Would you mind telling our audience, you know, let's let them get to know you, tell them about you, because you've had a long history with food, and that's really been your, how God has used you for your purpose in your life, is to help people with their food issues by you sharing what you went through.
Yes, I definitely will. I would tell my story in that way. I have a history of struggle with food, and I can look back and see that it happened, or one of the reasons is that I was born with a birth defect. I had a cleft palate. It wasn't a cleft lip, but it's the same thing in that if you open the mouth of a child, you can see that it's an opening in their mouth, I mean, on the roof of their mouth. And I grew up in the 50s, and I also grew up in a segregated place where I was not given health, you know, benefits about that. And so my parents actually did not know that I had a cleft palate until I tried to talk, and then my talking was, they could not understand. And so eventually I got that repaired. It took many, many years for that to get repaired. And in those years of growing up, I was the butt of many jokes. People, you know, made fun of me. I always had a very low self-esteem because of the way that I talked. And one of the ways that I dealt with it was with the food I ate. I was very easy to, food is that type of remedy that people can run to very easily. You know, run to that very soon. And I did. I ran to it. And as a child, though, I was not overweight. Part of it is that there was no TV around, and I didn't watch very much TV, and we only got a TV when I got older. And so I ran around a lot. It was only after I reached puberty that my eating caught up with me, and I had to deal with weight. A weight situation with that. And so what I have found, you know, and, you know, the weight came on and I tried to diet it off. That's when I started my little dieting thing. And I went on and off and on and off and on and off on that, you know, in the dieting situation. And that was kind of devastating. It was hard to do that. And then eventually I found groups of people, and this is where the friendship situation comes in. You find groups of people who also deal with a particular issue that you have going on in your life. So I found people who had food issues, and eventually I found people who could teach me skill levels of how to deal with my food. And I make sure that before the program is over, I share some of those skill levels for people who might be struggling in that issue. But over and beyond the skill level, I had to come to the understanding that I needed to have a strong faith. Knowing skills is not going to be just the answer, because if I know a skill and I still do not apply that skill, then I'm gonna have a problem. You know, I can have all the skill level in the world, but I may not apply it, I may not practice it, I may not use it for whatever reason. And so I had to look for a faith that I could believe in, that I could really hold on to, that I could understand myself. And that eventually brought me to the Word of God, the Bible. And that's why the nonprofit that I have is called Bible for Food. Because when I learn how to use the Bible for my food, then I'm not looking for nourishment, the prime nourishment. I'm not looking for that in other places. And so that helped me. Oh, my word, it has helped me in my food issues. And it definitely has kept my hands out of the food, as they say, and has allowed me to maintain a 70-pound weight loss for over 30 years. Wow. And so things were very wonderful for me. So that I started that nonprofit in 2011. And, fast forward, things were wonderful. I was doing, as I'm doing now, having workshops and having retreats, talking about my book, talking to people, helping people to overcome with skill and with faith and with friendship, how to, overcome these struggles with food. But my latest reset, or the latest thing that I can talk about, is my battle with cancer that started in 2014. I can still remember we were, I have a family, I have a husband. We've now been married 43 years. At that time we were celebrating our 40th anniversary. We have four grown kids. We have grandkids. It was a lovely, wonderful time. Mm-hmm. And I was having difficulty with what the doctors thought was acid reflux. And they said, don't worry about it, because I was, at that time, I was eating right. I was exercising. Everything was good. My body was the normal size. Everything was fine. No problem. And even we went on our vacation, and in September 2014, we came back. And I went, and they said, well, let's finally see, and let's put a scope, down your esophagus and see what is going on. And they did. And I've told people that I'm no doctor. But yeah. I can tell you one thing. When I saw what was in my, my throat, I knew something was radically wrong with that.
Yeah.
Very, very wrong with that. And it sobered me. And that's what I can say. Thank God for my faith, because I know that I know this about God, is that He made me. And I know that He's an intelligent designer. And so, and He knows all things. So nothing can happen to me that He doesn't know about. I remember telling a friend of mine that, God did not wake up and say, oh my goodness, Pat has cancer. He's all knowing. He knows everything. And so if a thing is allowed in my life, He knows that I'm strong enough in Him to actually grow more from that, as long as I stay very close to Him. And so I knew that it was important for me to stay very close to God through this trial. And one of the first things that I did when I found out that it might be cancer, because I was still waiting for the lab reports, but I immediately sent out an email to the people who were in this ministry of Bible for Food. And I told them that I needed them to be part of what I called my witness protection plan, that I did not want to let the hardness of this test cause me to be a poor witness to God as I had come to know Him. I did not want that. I knew that there were going to be hard times coming up for me. And this is where the friends come in, because, see, my friends also have faith. And these were other people who dealt with the food issue too. And they pray, and I knew they would pray for me. And I told them I needed their prayers. I needed them to hold up my arms when I could not do that. There's a story in the Bible about Moses needed his arms propped up, in order to make it. And so I called on them, and they came to me. And that's why this story of resetting from there is not my story. It's our story, because it was a community that got me through that. And when I was, when I went into getting the Medicaid, I got chemo and radiation. And the hospital I went to, I had to actually stay in a place because it was so far away. Not that far away, but it was too far away for me to travel and, have chemo every day.
Yes.
And radiation. And so I had to stay at a place with other cancer people within Baltimore. It was at John Hopkins, and I stayed at one of the homes that they have there. And that was also very eye-opening for me, because it reminded me again that whatever trial that I'm going through, that, again, other people have gone through that trial. And the problem is that when I feel that I am uniquely, I'm the only one that goes through that, and then the problem becomes, then the self-pity falls into that.
Mm-hmm.
And if self-pity comes in there, then it's self-defeating. I don't see the solutions because I'm too busy crying over the problem. I'm putting my focus on the problem and not on the solution. And so thank God for people who prayed for me. They prayed for me. And I was able also to get the truth. I got the truth by reading the Word of God. I kept in the Word of God. The Word of God for me is truth. And so I have learned, to stay in what I stay in the Word of God. I think yesterday you asked me about what is my normal routine of how I do. go ahead.
And I think also I was going to say, speaking of when we spoke yesterday, I was thinking about how you had several divine appointments, because you were told you had stage 4. You were told that you basically had no hope. A lot of hospitals wouldn't take you, and that's why you had to go to John Hopkins. You were lucky to get in there. And my one question I keep thinking about is how, I know you use the Word of God, but it's hard to keep your perspective positive in that internal drive in you to keep going, because we are human. I interview a lot of pastors sometimes, and I love their honesty, because they're like, I struggle every day too. Like, we're normal people too. But like you said, reading the Word of God does feed you. And I imagine being in a hospital like that, you did witness some people that didn't end up victorious and beat their cancer. So that's so hard,
Absolutely. I did see that a lot. I saw a lot of people, too, that did not have a faith. And so their hope, which was themselves, they could not make it. Because their body, all the things that they were used to doing, they could not do anymore. They were not strong to do it. The same thing with me. My my body was pained. I went through, you know, a very painful time. But what kept me going, again, like I said, is being able to go to an unmistakable place of remembrance, which I believe is what the Word of God is all about. It is the place that I can go to that I don't, you know, it's always there. It's in the words. It's written. And so even times I've told people, I was very, very sick, very, very weak, but I knew this, Jackie. I could not stay in that bed all day long and let those, what I call the voices, bombard me with untruth. Because what I think was going to affect the way I felt. And the way I felt was going to affect what I did for myself. I had to reset that mind. In fact, the way it says it in the Bible, it's in Romans 12:2. It says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We get transformed when we have the right thinking poured into us. And so one of the main things that I do, even when I was sick and what I do now, my daily routine is that, you know, after self-care, I'm over in my desk and I read the Bible. I read through the Bible every year, and I was taught that, and I teach it. That's what I teach in the ministry. And I teach them a way to do that that is different than before. You know, a lot of times people look at the Bible academically, and they look at it even historically. But God wants me to look at his heart for me. Because, see, love is such an amazing force. And when I understand that he loves me, when I can hear him speaking to my heart, then that makes a difference. That's what gets a person out of the bed, even though their body is hurting. You know, I would be, do you know they used to have in that place where I stayed, there were two things that made me laugh. One is that they had a treadmill for the caregivers, pretty much, because you had to have a caregiver. But I would be on that treadmill. I wasn't running. I was walking. I used to call it walking and praying. I would be walking and talking to the Lord. And they would come down. And in fact, some of the people got to the point, they thought I was a caregiver and that my sister-in-law was whatever. But it wasn't. And then the other thing is that sometimes I would get up early before because we had a little apartment. These are little apartments that you live in. And so I would go over to another space so I wouldn't wake up anybody else, my husband and my sister-in-law, that were in the living space with me. And I would be over in the common room early in the morning because I believe that, you know, again, sometimes God would wake me up. And, you know, with things that I needed to do. And so, yeah, that's how I believe it's like it's a whole mind thing. What am I thinking?
That you're talking about this because I talk about this a lot in my book, and it's really, you know, if someone who is listening, you know, in our audience isn't a believer or isn't really strong in God, I wrote about this water study by Masaru Emoto. And so this is more like the science end of things, but he's saying exactly what you're saying. He did a study with water, and he did a study, and he claimed about the effect that human consciousness has on the molecular structure of water. So basically, if you were to speak over the water, beautiful things, like loving things, the water crystallized into beautiful designs. When the water heard beautiful music, the same effects happened. But when the opposite happened, it was ugly structures, you know, really broken looking things. And it was very interesting because he realized through prayer and positive visualization that the water actually reacted. And so for someone who isn't a believer, you know, they can look at this, well, my body's made up of a lot of water. So if I love my body and I say nice things to it and healing things to it, my body's going to react. Because if this water that's outside a natural force reacts, it shows you of the energy in our world. You know, we are it is an energetic scientific world we live in, as well as a faithful world for us believers, but they do go together. You know what I mean? So I love that you're talking about the mind and the power of the mind and the effect that it had on your body with healing, because it's true. And you know, you can think yourself into a better existence. You can think yourself into a better life. You can think yourself into at least getting out of that bed, which helped you keep a positive mindset. It raised your serotonin levels being on that treadmill, and it got you healing, you know? And you probably had better relationships with people during this time because you kept a positive attitude. And certainly some people do and they still don't make it, but I think that it does make the best of your time here the best that it can be, regardless.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So, in fact, that was
Bravo. Bravo, bravo.
Oh, thank you, Philip. Thank you very, very much, Jackie. That's, you know, again, like I said, it's things that I learned from other people by observing other lives, like I'm sure that you do as well. But, sure. You know, another thing that I learned from being in the Word of God and also from my faith, you know, is that God is going to bless me. I have a belief in eternity. I have a belief that, you know, this is only part of the journey. And so I would say that to people, but they thought I was being fatalistic, but I was not. This I knew, Jackie, and this I did not put into my own self. God in his faithfulness put it in my own heart. He was going to heal me, but I didn't know when the healing was going to happen and whether it was going to happen in this on this side of heaven, I would say, or the next. I did not know. Yeah. And the fact that I knew that nothing was going to separate me from God's love, nothing was going to do that, that also brought a peace in me and an understanding that for all of us, we only have today. I mean, I had people who were praying for my healing, and two of them had situations where they're no longer here. They're not here. It's not like they had an accident. You know, one had an accident, but the other one had a health issue herself that, you know, that the Lord has taken her home. So my point is that, you know, we don't know the number of our days. No. But we do know that we have today. And, you know, we also know that, you know, with the help of the Lord, we can to make the best of this day. And that's why we don't want to be in the food. Because, you know, the thing about the food, when the food is all disorderly and out of the way and all over the place, then we become that way too. You know, we are all scattered. And one of the things that we talk about in Bible for Food, like that latest book, Think Fast, what we do, instead of thinking of it as a restriction, think of it as a choice in terms of the foods that we keep and the foods that we don't keep, you know, as part of our lifestyle. It's that we fast from those foods that are not working in our bodies. And in fact, I wanted to say something about that in terms of, you know, there might be people who are listening, and I know that they might be having issues with food. And I have found some things that, you know, are just commonplace that people can think about in terms of how do you get your food in order? What are some skills that, you know, are necessary in order to, you know, get that food in place? And, you know, I have actually 10 of those, and I can tell you those. You know, the first one is to definitely know what foods work in your body. And not just know them, but to actually, I call it, document them. Put them down so that when it's time to construct a meal, when it's time to, you know, put your meal in order, what you're going to put inside of your body, you're not reinventing the wheel, that you actually have a list of things. Oh yes, this works well, and you can, you know, be you know, use variety, you can use creativity, because you have that right on hand. It's written, you have it down. You know, so I have, like, I know proteins that work for me. I know, you know, vegetables that work for me. I know fruit. You know, all of these things I know, they're listed, I have them. But I also, the second thing is that I have lists of things that I know do not work in my body. I proved it years and years and years. They don't. And so it's a matter of, do I choose those foods and suffer? Or do I, you know, let it go, like I heard before? We don't get, you know, something for nothing. We get something for something. We have to give up. We can't have everything in life. That's part of, you know, growing up. That, you know, we don't have a two-year-old tantrum because we can't do X, Y, and Z. And so I choose to let go of certain foods. And I remind myself, you know, that no, I don't eat that. I don't eat that way. I don't. The other thing I had to deal with, you know, the third thing was the portion control. I had eaten myself into my body size without a shape. You know, I did not have I didn't like my body. And that meant that when I interacted with people, I was preoccupied. I was either looking at their body and wishing that I was their size, you know, or thinking or wondering if they were noticing that my jeans didn't fit, or, you know, it's an obsession. You don't need to do that. And I have found that if I don't want to have to worry about my weight, I want to have to do some portion control. I cannot eat everything under the sun. I can't do it. You know, I don't care how healthy it is. I cannot eat all of it. I can't do it. You know?
Well,
I just can't do it.
I always love, you know, let food be thy medicine. And, you know, that's one thing I talk about a lot. Food can be thy medicine, but it also can be your poison, and it can make you sick. Exactly what you're talking about. And we all are unique in our bodies. So what works for you is not going to work for me.
And that's right.
I do better with proteins. I don't do good with a lot of animal proteins. I do really good with fish. You know, the more I got very in sync with my body, the more I learned that, and the more I started paying attention to how things made me feel, then I was like, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that anymore. You know, and that is definitely a journey. It's a worthwhile journey because I don't struggle anymore. And like for me, you know, you come from a different perspective. You always struggled. I come from the other perspective where I never struggled. So when the struggle happened, I didn't even know what to do about it because I had never been in this situation before. I always could eat whatever I wanted. So but regardless, when you get to that plateau or that mountain you have to climb over, however you want to describe it, it is really hard. It's very emotional. And it's so worthwhile to fight it because then you feel better. You know, and
absolutely
look better. And then you have the self-confidence like you're talking about, and you're not distracted by how you look and how bad you feel about yourself. You can be present and enjoy the conversations you're having and not thinking like, oh my gosh, I need to unbutton my pants because I can't breathe. You know?
I hear you. Oh, I do. No, I hear you. Absolutely. And I've certainly, you know, have been that. I really have.
Yeah, you know? So I totally understand, and you know, I'm so empathetic to that struggle because I've dealt with it, and it was something I never even thought that I would deal with, and it's so emotional and it's so hard, and it really does take over your life. You know, it takes over every thought. And so I think it's wonderful what you're doing, you know, with your nonprofit and helping women with, you know, eating disorders and eating addictions and, you know, everything that falls into that category. I think as women, we all, you know, have gone through that a little bit, and men too, for sure. Yeah. I think we just share it a little bit more than men do, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I hear you.
But could you offer our audience a few tips of how to make healthier food choices. Like, what are some things that you do? Because we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that you would share like a day in your life. You know, how do you now eat in a way that you can control your portions, you can control your cravings, that keeps you balanced and always on track? Because, you know, you've been like this, you said, over 30 years now. So that's a long time to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I definitely have that idea of what foods I do enjoy. That whole mindset, too, that I am not, God actually made food enjoyable. And, you know, we talk about emotional eating. Actually, you know, we get a lot of emotional feedback from our, you know, comfort, I should say, from the food, is when it gets out of whack and when it becomes crazy, that it's a problem. And so I have to find, again, those foods that don't push me to that edge of it. And as I was saying before, to have my amount, one of the Bible things, one of the Bible verses, you know, God has given me my portion and my cup. Again, it's not that I'm going to have to, I cannot eat everything else. In fact, that's greed. That's taking somebody else's portion. And so knowing that I have a set amount of foods that I eat a day, so I have a template that I follow. So that way that when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to try to fit everything in. I think about, like I said, I'm in the Word. I get into the Word. But then I also have found it's important for me to think about my day and where I'm going to be. And how am I going to nourish my body? You know, what is my food plan? I plan my food. For some people, you know, that will go, I can't do that. You know, and I felt that way. You know, I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I learned that I can control that. I can ask for the things that I need. Mm-hmm. As you share, you know, if I need fish, you know, and I look, you know, I need it a different way. I go to a restaurant and they have fish, but they have sauce all over, the sauce that I don't have. Then I'll say to them, you know, do you mind? Is it possible for me to do X, Y, and Z? I ask for the things that I need, you know, for the time. And if I cannot necessarily get it when I want, then I always make sure that I either have what I call backup. That means something else that I can have you know, that they may not have on their menu, meaning that then things that I can carry around. I remember that I can have, you know, Parmesan cheese, you know, for the protein. I can have that, and I could have that in my purse and whatever, and get a salad, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get my first choice, but I got something else that I knew worked in my body versus, you know, eating something that I knew that I was going to regret or overeat on. I didn't want to, you know, overeat, you know, on those things. So having a template and also having, you know, I have accountability. I help other people to stay accountable. And I, other people, you know, help me. I have, you know, someone that is my sponsor who helps me to stay accountable. And I don't stack my meals. I leave spaces in between my meals. That way I'm not mimicking binging. See, I used to be a binge eater. Mm-hmm. And so if I know that I eat a certain amount of meals per day. For me, it's three. But not all people can eat three meals a day. They have to eat more, you know. But for me, three meals a day keeps me able to nourish my body without exacerbating a obsession with food. You know, if I eat too many times a day, then I'm upset. I'm thinking all day, you know, what am I going to have for this and what am I going to have for that and whatever. And three times is about what my mind can handle. But that means that I nutritionally, I need to space out the things that I need and how I have them so that, you know, it's not 12 o'clock and I haven't had breakfast yet. You know, how am I going to space out three meals in a way that, you know, I can not stack meals. So I don't stack my meals. And so, you know, that's definitely one thing that I do. And the other thing that I can tell your listeners is to watch the condiments. I've worked with people before, you know, and they are very, they know what they're doing with their food, but they don't look at what else they're putting on their food, you know, because habitually they have, you know, thrown ketchup on it or somethingness or whatever, and they have no idea that, you know, that, that those few things that don't seem that, you know, that is making that much of a difference, it can make a difference. It can make a difference as to whether, you know, their body is going to release the weight that it needs to, you know. They wonder why they always are at this plateau. Well, look at some of the condiments that you might be using regularly, you know, and how is that working for you. And then the last thing that I can say is the scale. I tell people the scale can either be a weapon or it can be a tool. It's a weapon, you know, when we base our whole life on what that number says on the scale. And I find that if I would allow myself to weigh myself too often, then that's what would happen. You know, I would be obsessing about what the scale said, you know, versus, you know, using it as a tool, because I don't want to be an ostrich with my head in the sand. The scale's number gives me some information. You know, either, you know, something is not working anymore, or, again, you know, what am I doing? It makes me look at my food and what I'm doing, and with God's help, make the changes that I need to make. But those are the things that definitely help me and have helped me over the years. But, you know, again, let me say that I won't do any of these things, you know, if I did not feel empowered to do it. And that's what I want to do. I want to stay so close to God who has made me and who wants these things for me and who's there for me that I can feel that power that he has for me. He's empowering me to do that, you know.
It's so true, because I feel like, you know, we forget that he wants the best for us. You know, Amen. If you're having a bad day, you think, well, I guess I just didn't deserve it. You know, it's very easy to have that negative self-talk. So I love that you say that, because it is true. He does want what's best for us. You know, God wants us to be happy and abundant and healthy. And the other thing I wanted to say, too, that has worked for me is, if I don't want to eat it, I don't buy it. You know, you can't eat something that's not in your kitchen. And Amen. That is what works the best. Because, you know, me and my friend at the gym, he's my trainer, but he owns the gym. And we were talking about it the other night. We were at this really lovely charity event. There was a bunch of us, you know, from the gym there supporting our friend's niece, who's doing really well. She's battling cancer, and she's, you know, cancer-free right now. And, well, you know, her tests were zero. So that's like a very positive, you know, hopeful situation, you know, at this moment. And we were talking about it because there was, you know, so much bad food there. And we both said, if it's not in the house, you don't eat it. Like, these are those challenging moments where you have to make good choices, obviously, because then you hate yourself in the morning if you don't, you know, you're like, oh, why did I eat that, you know? But so I like that, and I drink a lot of seltzer water because it fills me up and, you know, it makes me happy, actually. Like, I love the bubbles. Mm-hmm. But we are, like, getting down to the wire here with time, and the one thing I would love, if you wouldn't mind, could you just share some inspiration with those who are listening that may be suffering from cancer themselves or have a loved one suffering from cancer, to just give them a few reset tips of hope to keep going and to stay encouraged?
Yes, I would. I, you know, if I had to just, again, settle it down, it goes still back to those three things, and I put them in order this time, that definitely your faith. to look at that issue of faith. One of the things that we know is that we all perish. There's no one here, you know, over the age of 120. And so there has to be a creator. And so look at the faith issue and explore it for yourself. If you come from an issue that does have scripture, look at that area of possibility of exploring that, because that's something that you can go right to. It is written, and you can go and you can think about it and write about it and pray about it. The other thing I would say with the cancer is the food issue, that there are, you know, foods that can exacerbate, you know, the irritations in our body. And we want to feel good even when we are not feeling good. We want to feel the best that we possibly can. And like when I had esophageal cancer, they told me that more people went out on that, you know, had perished because of the nutrition. They were, you know, they just stopped eating. And so I had to, again, with other people's help, the understanding that to keep those guidelines even when it's hard, and to remember, you know, that it's a season that you're in with this cancer. You're in a season, and it's not going to last forever. It seems like it might, but it's a season, and fight in that season, and to really do your part with the food. Don't be a two-year-old, you know, and say that just because you don't feel good, you're not going to do it. You're not going to eat. My throat was hurting a lot of times when I had to just divide my food into little tiny pieces to get it down. But this was it. You know, it got down, and that was then, and this is now. And so that's, you know, one thing. And then the other is the friendship situation. You know, your friends have many stories of conquering, you know, ongoing. We all have victories, but sometimes we don't get an opportunity to share those victories because people don't ask. And so ask your friends about their victories. It might be a message of hope in there for you, you know, and how you can apply that to the situation that you're in with the cancer.
I love this. Patricia Nordstrom, she is the author of 90 Days. She's the author of Think Fast, and her latest book, Bible Immersion, is coming out soon. Now, Patricia, could you please tell everyone how they can follow you and get in touch with you and learn more about you, please?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity. The best way is to go to our website, and the website is the word Bible for food, Bible, F-O-R-F-O-O-D, BibleForFood.org. And on that website, you'll see that we have meetings. Meetings are the main way that we communicate. We have conference calls, and I'm on most of those calls. And on most of those calls is where I do the teaching of what I have been shown. That's my major prayer, is that whatever God shows me, I want to pass it on. I feel that I give best out of the overflow of what he puts into my life. And so I make sure that I give something every day by being in the Word, but I also share it. So they can come to the meetings. They will hear in the meetings. And we also have workshops that we do around the country, and we also do retreats 3 times a year. And all of these things are free. This is the wonderful thing about Bible for Food. You know, you get there, you don't have to pay to get in, all right? And a lot of times we have a lot of resources to give away because we're able to, people donate, you know, give us money, and we can able to do that. And so the last thing is that we are having a retreat. It is free, again. And that book, Think Fast, I know that we usually put a free book in one of the packages, you know, in the packages that we get to people. And that's coming up April 20th. 21st and 22nd, and that's going to be on the website. You'll see it on the website, and it's going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. So we are in different areas. In November, we were actually on the West Coast. So we go to different places as the people, you know, if people need us, we go.
Wonderful. That's awesome. Patricia, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for being so generous with your spirit and encouraging our audience. I am so grateful to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm just so grateful to you, Jackie. You are very sweet to have me. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And for all of you beautiful listeners out there, just remember that with God, all things are possible, and to pray, and like the great Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And until next week on Empowerment Thursdays, reset because you deserve it.